page 7 in the OTR pages. Joe.
Yeah, and fortunately I had a few minutes to kind of refresh my recollection of what's in that capital budget, and I think I can. I'll go through the projects that are funded in that capital budget. And it's on page 21. And this will exclude debt service costs because debt service is paid on a fixed schedule, so I'll just talk about the ones that we fund with cash. As you go across that line, the 149,480 plus $98,923 of the OTR goes to pay for the local match. I believe it's a federal highway project. Kevin, am I right about that?
Yes.
So these are required payments federal on federal highway programs.
All right, you're on page 21 of the
300. I'm on page 21. I'm on the very top row that's called program expense. And when you look across, you'll see an entry as target base of 149,480. See that? That's in target. If you add to that 98,293, that's a part of the OTR request.
On page 7 of the OTR book.
That should total about $247,000? Yeah, $247,000. Again.
It's part of that $366,000.
It is. It's a subset of that $366,000. The total of those two items is for federal highway aid projects, the local match. In the proposed budget, and now we're all in the OTRs, okay? It's all OTR. There was a $100,000 item in there, and that was that cash upfront payment for the deferred maintenance program. You recall we called it planning and design. So that was $100,000 of that amount. You have since reduced that $100,000 to $50,000.
What number is that?
It's still within the program expense line.
OTR number 9.
So $100,000 of the $366,000 was for that. And again, that you've since changed that number. You've reduced it from $100,000 to $50,000. The next item funded in that same OTR, $366,000, is for $38,725. And that's for the aquifer studies.
This is also in OTR number 8?
No, this is now.
This is OTR 10. On page 8.
That's right. I'm reading from the line item budget, not the OTR. So.
The total OTR is Joe's talking about from page 21.
It's just good to keep
going
back and forth
because
it gives a sense of what we're doing.
Yeah, that would help a lot. Yeah, it's much easier to explain it that way, too. Okay,
yeah.
So you see it, $38,725 for the aquifer study, and that's, again, OTR number 10.
What page in the OTRs? I'm sorry.
Page 8 of the OTR book, or the OTR section. Next item in there is the $100,000 item for the upgrades to the Bostwick Road fuel facility.
Wait, I'm sorry, Joe. On the 10, OTR 10, did we do that or we didn't do that?
We didn't touch it.
You haven't touched it. I've recommended it, and you haven't done anything with it.
Okay.
And the same thing is true for the next one, the fuel system upgrade at Bostwick Road for $100,000. It's the recommendation, and right now that's where it is, consistent with the capital plan. That's correct. That is a highway fund expense, not a general fund expense.
So we did okay this OTR, or we did not?
You were silent on it. So you've accepted it so far.
And the one before it?
Same thing. You've accepted that.
I believe there was a motion or two about the, or there was at least the aquifer study did come
There was
out.
A question about it, and the motion was pulled.
And the last item on there you can see is the contribution to TCAT capital for $29,910. I believe this is also a local match situation. It's by formula that the allocation is $29,910. And again, I don't believe you've considered that, so my recommendation currently is intact in this budget. And that's it. The rest of the capital program consists of debt service payments, which are fixed by schedule.
Kevin.
So I don't have any intention to go after the debt service payments that are fixed by schedule, but I am interested in getting a preview, if possible, of what our planned capital expenditures are that we haven't embarked on yet that we've pushed out, let's say, that may start next year. In the past, we've had an opportunity to look at that and to get a sense of, for example, what we'll be thinking about as legislators in the capital plan for upcoming years, because when we look at over-target requests and one-times, those things can be impacted by a capital plan expenditure that was anticipated in the capital budget, but that individual legislators might not have had on their radar.
Okay. And that's information I don't have on hand right now. It's something you'd like to see, you know, within the next few days. We certainly
it
can make
it
available.
Good.
But right now, I don't have that information.
I guess I've been spoiled because in past years we've had an opportunity to talk about this ahead of the budget process so that we can have these things in mind. And in some cases, the legislature has even made some decisions to consider at committee opportunities to push out some capital plan expenditures, and we won't have that luxury this year.
Leslie, and then Mike. So, because I don't remember the answer, I don't know if I did ask this question. On the fuel system upgrade, there was no... I needed some more information, and I wrote myself a question, I remember asking, on what it is. Is it the whole pump and...
It's that whole facility out there, the infrastructure that exists right now. It's time to basically refurbish that entire setup at Bostwick.
Can I ask some follow-up questions? One, why is it and how long has it been there? Why is it necessary to do it now? How long has it been there? Anybody knows?
Offhand, I don't know, Leslie.
Well, what's wrong with you?
I know.
Yeah, I know.
It did come up in...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's original to the building. I don't know when the building...
David, go for it. You know how long the thing has been there. No?
20 years old.
It's that old. Okay.
Ed has mentioned this briefly at the Capital Plan Review Committee. I left a message, actually, for Bill today. Bill says he's sort of asking, do we have an RFP on this? How tight is that number?
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten a response yet. But we did. We have talked about it briefly of capital plan. I don't know if facilities has. Guess not.
I don't remember that conversation. What did you get from capital plan review that is worthwhile information that I can hear?
Pretty much what you just heard. It's 20 years old. It's on a certain schedule, and they're concerned about the upkeep, and if it goes out, then they've really got a problem. So this is sort of preventing, you know,
it's
an emergency.
Like it's not like it's malfunctioning or...
It is having problems, and that did come up in the capital plan committee. We've also talked with Highway, and they're going to pay for it out of the DM fund, which they have well over $1 million to cover.
So
this won't affect the general fund.
If they're going to pay for it from that
why is it
part,
in OTR?
It's to bring it on your radar screen.
No, it's a part of the capital plan, and that it's so the use of funds is described here. The source of funds again is coming from the road machinery fund and highways, and highways is drawing out of its fund balance to pay for it.
And that general revenue summary number 17 shows other fund appropriations. That's where that $100,000 comes from to pay for it.
So is it appropriate for it to be here as an OTR? I'm not getting that one.
Historically, capital projects have been funded like this so that every one of them can come to the legislature for consideration. So typically this is the way they're presented to the legislature.
And considering the situation that the county is in for this year, we've asked the highway department to end up paying for it ultimately.
Kathy.
Thank you. I wasn't questioning the need for a fuel system upgrade. Those of y'all that are concerned about groundwater understand that there's new regulations. You've seen filling stations digging up tanks and putting in new ones. My guess is it has something to do with both the longevity and the regulations. My concern was just that we have a discussion to get it on people's radar, because there's ways that we move the money around that sometimes need to be brought to people's attention.
Carol?
Yeah, I thank Kathy for bringing this to our attention, and I think early on in our budget meetings, I asked about where we stood in the capital plan and looked at this item in our base budget. I decided that we may have to go here one day in the future, in a future year, but that for as long as we can manage to keep our capital program at a steadier state up there in the target that it's in. It's been reduced some overall, even counting the over-target requests. It's absorbed a hit. And that while we can afford to still do it, that we keep on our plan for now, knowing that if we have to go there next year we can. Too.
Leslie and then Mike.
It's been a long day. I am really not getting this. So I understand historic. What I am not getting is if this is already budgeted with highway on the DM or whatever the fund is, why is it in rollover? Why is it in over target?
David, do you want to take a crack?
It's an over target request.
Well, it's because it's a fund balance appropriation, which requires the legislature to approve it. If it was in the budget as a fully funded, it wouldn't be an over target request. But because it's going to be require depletion of the fund balance, it's always been the practice to list those things as over target. In this case, you haven't had many from the highway fund.
It's a fund balance request.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
And I think the definition of a capital project is, I think, it's $50,000 or more. So any expenditure like this is considered under the capital program, even though the department is essentially paying for it. Mike?
First, I want to say thanks to Kathy.
Indeed.
It's real important we have this discussion. Second, I guess what I'm missing, and unless it's somewhere here that I passed over it, is the debt service. The breakdown, the spreadsheet on the payments over the years that I've seen in the past, and the discussion we often had in the past about those was, when do we start the debt service? Do we start making payments this year? Do we start making payments next year? When is that required? At some point, I probably can't have it tonight, but I'd just like to see that sheet.
I can make copies now.
I think we can go ahead because I think we haven't added anything new this year. Is that right?
That's correct.
So, in a sense, it wasn't that when there's a decision about when to bring the health building online into the debt service.
Well, maybe there isn't anything new, and that may be answer my question, but yep. I'd like to see it at some point.
Joe?
Right. Yeah, we will provide that schedule.
Thank
you. I understand what you're looking for, and we can provide
that's
it
good.
To you quickly.
Pam.
Because it also just isn't bringing things online. It's looking ahead and seeing where things are going offline, where we're going to finish paying and where we're going to have some more money.
When the bumps are.
Yeah.
Sadly, I think the mental health building ended last year and nothing else is ending in the immediate future. So I understand the interest.
Well, I think we all need to be reminded of where we are on that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, so we usually get it.
Absolutely, but I think the point of it didn't come into this budget package in the right. traditional form is because we didn't have any immediate decisions to make.
Well, as I talked about before, we're preparing an official statement, but in the back of the official statement, there's the debt payments, and it's pretty level until 2015. In 2015, there's a dramatic drop, and that's a result of the public safety communication system, which was the largest single investment the county has had, other than the hospital, was financed over a period of less than 10 years, and most of that will be off the books. And so there's a drop in 2015. But right now we're paying about $4 billion a year in principal payments. And it goes down to about $2 million in 2015.
$4 billion?
Did you say $4 billion?
$4
million. I thought I heard B, too. All right.
Yeah, what's coming on is the health department building will come on. We'll be fully permanently financing that in 2011 with this bond sale.
Frank.
David, stay there just a second. Off the top of your head, do you recollect when the solid waste bonds are paid?
Solid waste debt service starts coming off dramatically in 2013.
Right now they're
paying $1 million a year in debt service to the debt service fund, and it dramatically drops off in 2012 and 13.
Okay. And we're going to see that spreadsheet that has all.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll make sure there's time and appropriate time to have a full discussion of all that. What I'm hearing is that there aren't the current the decisions for 2011 are presented in the OTRs, and that's it, correct? Are there any other questions? Jim?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm aware that there are some unhealthy legislators in the room who'd like to move this forward to closure if we can. We're actually, she's out of the room right now, but some of us are midway healthy. So are there any other motions, amendments to the tentative budget as we have amended it so far?
Madam Chair.
Frank.
Assuming we vote on this now, can you, for the benefit not only of us, but the benefit of anybody that's listening, what are the next steps? What's the next step, and are there more opportunities to amend? Can you describe it?
Okay. Let's what? When we get to the end of this, Jim and then Leslie.
No, I'll pass.
Leslie?
Madam Chair, I want to take one more stab at this, and I didn't send it out by email. I want to revisit the OTR that involves the Learning Web. I had originally set this forth asking for a one-time $35,000 be appropriated to the Learning Web to continue the work, and I've lost the page now, that they have been doing with teens and young folks in our community who are youth who are at risk and high risk of dropping out of school, working with them on learning career skills and work experiences so that we don't end up spending a whole lot more money on other services to, you know, lock them up or other services when they now have to go and make use of some of the mandated services. So I'd like to put that on the table and hope that I can get support of my colleagues this one time to also give this agency some time to think about where some other grant opportunities and places that they can go to continue to help these young folks.
Leslie, do you have an OTR number?
I was trying to find it. I don't know. I had 69 when I first did it, or 39, but I don't think that's right.
120. 16 and 120.
Is there a second to the 35,000 one time?
I thought it was already we voted.
We'll second that motion. What, Kevin?
I was under the impression that it was already voted one time.
I thought it went down.
It was 7-7.
It was a 7-7 vote.
So now we have all of us here. So it's been moved and seconded. Okay, Leslie?
I do want to appeal to my colleagues. You know, my very job every day is working with a number of youth who are considered high risk, and I see what they go through and what they experience and see the value of a program like the Learning Web to their very existence. And self of just being a human being in this community. I also, along with a few others, serve on a Safe Communities group. And a lot of our focus is just on what's going on for young people and how we can help protect them from themselves. This is one place that I think does that really, really well, and I hope I can get your support. Just one-time dollars. It's not going to affect what we're doing here for this. That's my plea.
Pat.
Although I'd like very much to be able to support this program, I've thought a lot about the various youth services that the county is engaged in. And what kind of comes to mind for me is that these are programs which do a lot of good, are well run, but I have to question whether it's appropriate for the county to be doing as much as we do in running these programs. It seems to me it would make more sense if we had some role in the administrative organization of the program so that it could be run on a countywide basis, but that the actual programming or the amount of programming, the actual programming cost for the youth would be handled by the individual municipalities. And I see that as a long-term kind of goal to move in that direction. I understand that this is being proposed as a one-time addition at this point, but what I don't hear is a commitment to some kind of a plan that would change the current structure of how it's funded in the future so that we wouldn't be coming back next year and looking at the same kind of decision all over again. And I have spent a good part of my day today answering phone calls and emails from constituents who have now gotten the word about what we did at our last budget meeting when we voted and saying, please don't do this. We can't handle this level of taxes. It's just way too much. Even the 5% is too high. We need to have you bring it down further. So unless I can hear that there is some kind of strong commitment to looking at the way this program is structured and working out a way to change the composition of the funding stream so that it relies less on county funds, more on municipalities, I don't think I can support it.
I'm going to jump in with a brief explanation, which is that the historically, and as I said in the proclamation for Nancy tonight, the county has had an interest in the youth development services, such as this, such as the, you know, many others that we've already voted on, because of the impact on our mandated costs, that as a way to divert young people from the justice system, from foster care, from institutional care. So that is why we've had such an active role in that. And that's, you know, the towns don't have to pay for foster care. We do. So there's been a historic distinction between sort of recreation kinds of programs, as exemplified by the REC partnership, and even the municipal youth services programs to an extent. But these kinds of programs are meant more in the category related to social services. I had Nathan, and then Will and Carol, I think.
I originally did not support one-time funding for this, but I will support it now. And the reason for it is because at the time of the last time this came up, a week ago, we still weren't at the point of it still seemed unclear that we can stay under 6% and yet still support reinstating at least half of the youth services and also restoring all social services or most social services for at-risk youth and children in foster care. Now that we've been able to accomplish that and still maintain our safety net, and keep a budget that's under 6% as it stands right now, I'm willing to support this because I believe we've achieved the goals that I had since the budget came out tentatively.
So the vote on this motion was 7-7 before, and I think I've heard three people say they're going to switch. So I'm pretty sure we could vote.
No.
Madam Chair, the vote on this motion, according to the minutes of October 27, the vote on the original motion resulted in a 6-7 no's. Page 3 of those minutes.
Okay.
They're not official.
Was that on one time or target funding? Do you remember? Does it say there?
The original motion.
Well, at any rate, that would if we got three people added to six, that's a unless somebody says they've changed their mind. Is there anything we have to add to this conversation?
No, can we just vote?
Can we vote?
Yeah, well, I just want to briefly make sure people understand that this is years of relationships with employers. That
so I think we're ready to vote. You're adding to the momentum here. Okay. All in favor of the motion to restore one-time funding of $35,000 to the Learning Web, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That passes 10-5. Are there any other amendments to the budget? Jim?
If there's no other amendments, I want to change the numbers in the yellow sheet and get a vote on it.
The yellow sheet.
It's the one, the original resolution 8.
Okay. May I ask a question before Jim gets to changing numbers? I was looking for the little sheet you provided, Kevin, on the votes. The $35,000 to the Human Services Coalition, was that a one-time or target amount?
I believe it's target.
It was target.
Target.
All right, Jim, go ahead. Everybody have the revised
Yes. You can see them. They're up here. The approximate tax levy increase is 5.98, an accounting-wide average tax rate increase of
7.90%. 7.90. And the cost for a $100,000 home?
And, somebody
help.
The total amount of budget is $40,600,519.
$600,519.
Right.
Okay.
Did you want the $100,000?
If you got it,
estimate? On $100,000, the bill would be $647.06, and that's an increase of $47.06.
Okay. Thank you.
Wait, can I?
Dooley.
When I turned in the revised resolution, I had hoped that it would track, the note would track the average house and just how many, what increase in dollars on the average house, rather than the note as it's written now, which is less helpful, I think.
Okay, if it's okay, we get it. So it's 160,000 is what we've been using as average.
Could you just repeat?
Just a second.
No, the number is $75.30.
That's the increase.
On a $160,000 home,
property. The
increase would be $75.30.
A question there. Based on which year's assessment of the value of the home?
It's based on a constant 160 across both years.
The one we have. It's our number.
But what's happened in the meantime to the...
No, Carol, that doesn't matter. You can't, we can't, this is only a measure that you can say, so somebody listening to this can evaluate. We can't, there are 33,000 parcels.
Well, let me ask it a different way then. Has the assessments have gone down overall?
The tax base has gone down because AES moved off the tax base.
Do I need another second for this?
Okay. No, it's been moved and seconded. Well, or the whoever, I think Mike's, what? This is the main motion. It's been moved and seconded to get this on the floor. So if this, I assume these adjustments and the numbers are friendly to whoever it was.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I moved the original, and then I had my motions and everyone else.
I seconded it. Yeah, that is friendly. Cool.
So we've, you know, I'm changing the number.
I love that word.
Okay, all right. Carol, you get it?
No.
All right, later on, you can ask Joe.
This reflects the fact that a lot of people have had their assessments go down, but that's
okay. We can't move.
Then
we can't calculate.
House went down.
Excuse me, Peter.
Sorry. Excuse me. I apologize.
We cannot calculate for this resolution what happened to everybody's assessment. That's not the point.
But it would be
I think I saw Mike and Leslie, right? And
Pat
then Pat.
Pat was up before.
I think after all of this, it's time for the public to be heard on our proposed budget here. I'm going to vote for this. I'm going to withhold my opinion on whether I'll vote for the final budget until after I hear from our constituents on this. But I think it's time that we to move this along.
Leslie, Pat, and Jim?
I agree with what Mike said.
Short and sweet. Pat?
I also agree with what Mike said, but I missed one of the numbers because I just can't write fast enough. The cost for a $100,000 home will be how much?
I'm sorry, the total bill would be $647.06.
Thank you.
Which is an increase of $47.06 on that $100,000 home.
Jim?
No, that's okay. I'll wait for the vote.
Kathy?
My support for this resolution shouldn't be construed as support for the final budget.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor of the resolution, which sends this 2011 tentative budget...
Roll call.
Yeah.
Tentative budget to the public hearing on November 8th in this room at 7 o'clock. We'll do a roll call.
Mrs. McBean, Claiborne?
Yeah.
Mr. McKenna?
No.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Ms. Keeper?
Yes, for the public hearing.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Mackesy?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
14 ayes, 1 no.
Thank you all. Jim, do you want to explain the process from here?
I'm sorry?
Explain the process, what happens next.
Can do that, but the public hearing is at 7 o'clock on Monday. We normally have a budget committee meeting. We are not having it Monday in the p.m.
I want to thank everybody for their incredible hard work, Kevin and Joe and all the department heads. David was right there along with Kevin and Joe. This has been a huge job, and especially when the administrative department was downstaffed, we deeply appreciate all the work that's gone into this. The public hearing next Monday, 7 o'clock, will be right here, and that won't be a chance for us to talk. It's a time for us to listen. So invite the public to come, and comments are still being accepted through email, like to Kathy Covert, and she'll distribute to all of us. The November 16th is the next meeting. After the public hearing, the next discussion would be the November 16th legislature meeting, when we will be presented with, we will look at this again, and that will be the chance to make any additional amendments to the tentative budget. If anyone wants to make an individual, put an individual motion, they can do that ahead of the, by giving it to Kathy Covert Tuesday before the November 16th meeting by 5 o'clock. Then it goes in as an individual member filed resolution, or amendment. So it would be handled that way. If you like, that's another option. And then we will vote, I hope, November 16th. Leslin, Carol?
Madam Chair, I was just really trying to get that last bit that you said. I was about to ask that question. So if there are additional amendments, we pass them on to Kathy?
If she gets them by the 5th, by 5 o'clock, the Tuesday before November 6th, the 9th of November.
Okay.
If you have an individual
okay.
amendment you want to add.
Thank you.
Carol?
I just want to confirm the location of the budget hearing.
I'm afraid it's here.
Here.
And we could probably set up the camera, in, so if there's an overflow, we can deal with that. Jim?
I appreciate all of your efforts all during this time. I can promise you, whether the budget goes up or down, that we are going to internally discuss a different procedure for next year with input from all of you, but we literally have to do something different than what we're doing now.
And I want to especially thank Chair Dennis for leading us through. I think we had 11 meetings, is that right?
I don't remember. Pretty old.
13 meetings. And I will say that it went on long, and we got scrunched at this point in the calendar because these decisions were so hard. And we had to thoroughly discuss so many issues, and we haven't ever had to go into this depth before. So thank you for the stamina and leading 13 meetings. Speaking of stamina, this meeting isn't over yet.
Just so starting.
I'd like to go to the GO committee so that Paula's stamina won't be tested any further. Mike Lane, Chair.
I will try to make a short report and try to lead everybody into being short from here on out so we aren't here till 11 o'clock. Government Operations met on Thursday, October 21st. We've had two special meetings since then, both to deal with appointments, one to the Broadband Committee and the other to the Ethics Committee.
Excuse me, folks. I'm really having trouble hearing. So I assume other people are, too.
So I could tell you a couple of the highlights at our regular meeting, we heard from our county administrator about the lean office smart work initiatives. As you remember, we had three different departments that have been working on that. Reports are very good. We're going to have a full presentation from them, I think, in November. And we're very positive about how that process is working, and we'll probably be coming back to this group to suggest that be expanded to other areas, other departments. We had about an hour-long presentation at our invitation from Hank DeLay, who is a recognized authority on the constitutional process in the state of New York. We asked him to come talk about two things. One was the redistricting process, because we have been talking in GO about whether to change the way we have redistricted in the past to have some kind of a more independent commission. And the other thing was to talk about the concept of an early vote for a constitutional convention in New York. I'm certainly not going to review all of what he said, except to say that it added a lot of food for thought, particularly his discussion about the proposed legislation out there for redistricting at the state level, some of which has suggestions which could be a model for the way we proceed. We'd like to see some of that move forward. We're going to get copies of the legislation for everyone to see. I've also asked the board office to kind of perhaps make an excerpt of the discussion so that we could all look at that as well. We talked a little bit about where we are with the idea of broadcasting from different county buildings, and we're proceeding on that. We're going to be making contact with Time Warner about what would be needed to add a drop for a production from, say, the Board Warner Room at the Tompkins County Library or from the new Health Department, as another example. We will, move ahead. We've got to take up the broadband resolution before we can work on the appointments. Are we going to do the appointments tonight, Madam Chair? You've got them in hand. Okay. Then I'd like to move ahead with Resolution F, creation of the Broadband Committee, and I so move.
Is there a second? Pat seconds.
This Broadband Committee will be chaired by Pat Pryor. We also will have Dave McKenna on that. There's been a lot of work by the chair of the legislature, the chair of the proposed committee, and others sorting through the various applications that have come in and finding a good mix of people. And I think this will be a technically oriented committee which will be able to advise us on how to proceed to get that last mile of internet service to the people, particularly in the rural areas.
Thank you very much, Mike. I think it has been a great deal of work, and we're just getting started. Frank.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mike, the second to the last resolved in the resolution indicates that the committee will deliver a report to your committee at the end of 6 months that will include, you know, the activities and key issues impacting accessibility and affordability. Will they suggest the recommended course of action?
We hope so, if it can be done in that length of time. But I think that's why it's denominated as an interim report, because we weren't quite sure whether that would happen. And Pat, would you like to add anything to that?
It's our goal to be able to do that, Frank. Now, whether that actually can come about will depend on how the discussion goes and what we actually discover as we get into the work of the committee. But certainly we would be working toward that goal.
Okay, but second follow-up. In that vein, as we select individuals to serve on the committee, what will be the criteria to avoid having anyone on the committee who might suggest, who might have a financial stake in whatever the recommended outcome might be?
Let me take that.
I understand what you're saying, and I'll certainly send it to you, but when you're dealing with business people that have technical expertise, sometimes folks have interests in various things, but we call on them for their advice. Doesn't mean we have to take it, and that's why we have a larger committee.
Well, in the past, Mike,
Martha?
Sometimes we will solicit individuals in the community to serve on a committee, but ban them from bidding or financially participating in anything that the committee recommends. Is that going to be the case here?
The GEO committee had a sort of temporary committee, ad hoc committee that discussed these issues for quite some time and then reported back to GEO. Paul has done a tremendous amount of work on this. And then they recommended that we think there should be such and such a committee, these kinds of people, and I think everybody here certainly got that, that report soliciting soliciting members. People were asked, did they know anybody? And we have this packet of applications. I will say this was a very popular committee. We had more people, more qualified people than were reasonable for a working committee. So the designations of sort of what organizations were represented, what geographical areas were represented, that was all in the report from GEO. I took that under advisement and basically just copied the list of, you know, what they recommended. Everybody here had that. That was certainly public when we were soliciting applications. So, I would also emphasize, I think that this committee has a lot of research to do, and it's pretty inconceivable to think that the county is going to fund broadband. This is nothing like a setup for us to pay for broadband.
Right.
So nobody should have any, some of the language in the resolution sounded a little like that, what could be suggested, and we changed that. I think the idea is really to be looking for opportunities out there, looking for partnerships, looking for grants. There will certainly be, before any kind of contract, any kind of RFP, any kind of money goes around, anybody who's interested in applying for such opportunities would certainly recuse themselves, step off the committee. We would deal with that.
Does it say that in the solicitation for membership?
Frank, it's part of everything we do. I don't think there's a problem here. So
I disagree, Martha. Unless it's specifically outlined, sometimes it's inappropriate.
Pat?
I think you've raised a very good point, Frank. And I'm glad you did raise it, because I think it's important to talk about it right up front before we get into the work of the committee. I think we see the possible participation of people who might have conceivably a financial interest in the outcome of the work of the committee as being important to be able to get the work of the committee done, that there will be information that might be considered proprietary information that we will need to gather as part of our research, and to the degree that the people in the field can help us with that, I think we're going to need that kind of information. I can assure you as chair of the committee that I would have no difficulty in saying very clearly that when it comes to taking a vote on something, that I would expect people who might possibly have some financial interest to recuse themselves from any particular vote of the committee on which they might have a financial interest. To me, that's an expected way you do business, just as when we come here to this legislature, it's possible that something might come before the legislature that could impact or, you know, create a connection between something we do in the rest of our lives, and we recuse ourselves. And by the same token, the people on this committee, since they will take the same kind of oath of office that all the rest of the members of any other committee of the county take, and they will be bound by the county's ethics requirements. So I think that we have the resources to adequately deal with that situation.
Kathy?
Pass.
Okay. Mike?
I would just add that this is only an advisory board. It's going to be advisory to the GO committee, a standing committee, which will then be advisory to the full board here, and no action, no contracting will take place without action on this board.
Thank you, Pat and Mike, for the better answer than I gave. All right. Are we prepared to vote on the resolution, Kathy?
One of the things we talked about when we talk about broadband is how lack of broadband affects people, particularly in the rural areas. And we also talk about how it's poorer people that are impacted the most, who need these resources the most. It's well known that often in the lower socioeconomic brackets, you find people of color. So I have a concern that I'd like to know how the committee and the county addressed. As a member of the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, what attention did you pay to making certain that there was diversity of racial nature involved in the planning and the obtaining of expertise for this committee? Because I think it's of vital importance.
I'd like me to answer that. I think I'm glad you asked that question too, Kathy. I think that's a really important question for any of our county committees. As Martha mentioned, we had a long list of people who applied, and as we began to sift through the applicants, clearly diversity in terms of racial and ethnic background, as well as socioeconomic, which, you know, we didn't have full information on, but there are some things you can take a look at an application and you can see that there are differences sometimes between one person's experience and another person's. We also looked geographically to try to make sure that we had broad diversity from the various parts of the county, including parts of the county where you might be more apt to have people applying who are from lower income brackets. So clearly, our thinking was on diversity as one of the criteria. In fact, we, with the possible exception of one person, as far as we know, there was only one person of color who applied to be on the committee, and we were very happy to have that application, and that person has been accepted for the committee.
Can I ask a follow-up? As members of the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee know, and as members of the county legislature have been informed, often in seeking diversity, you have to go the extra mile. I'd just like to question as to whether there might be an opportunity, since sometimes recruiting for committees, there's a saying, if you keep doing the same things you've been doing, you'll be getting the same things you've been getting, and probably the proportion of diversity in terms of racial and ethnic origin that you have isn't really in a proportion to its presence in the community.
But
there might be an opportunity for those of us who are active in the diversity community to be able to solicit potential additional members that would help fulfill that criteria more fully.
At this point, we have a group, a list of people who applied for the committee who were not accepted, mostly because the committee is of a size at this point that we feel if it gets larger, if it goes beyond the number of 20, it's going to really get to be difficult to work with. However, having said that, I would strongly encourage anyone who has a good candidate for the committee, be there someone of racial and ethnic diversity or not, to have that person apply, because we are collecting those, or we have a list of applications of people already, and we could certainly, if Martha agrees to it, we could certainly add to that list, because my expectation is that there would be some people from this committee who, because of the time demands, or the committee might meet at a time that they couldn't meet, or for some other reason that we haven't foreseen at this point, there may be vacancies. And I would certainly think that it might be possible, should that happen, to add someone else to the committee. At this point, I would prefer not to let the committee get any larger than it is.
Are we ready to vote on the resolution? All in favor of the creation of broadband committee, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Opposed? 1, 13 to 1. It passes. So then I would hereby appoint to the broadband committee Pat Pryor as chair, David McKenna, Chuck Bartosz, Lawrence Berger, Richard, Sid Boswell, John Bosack, Nicole Brazil, Scott Brim, Susan Curry, Frederick Dietrich, John Levine, Tracy Matrana, William Phipps, Mike Pliss, Gary Reinbolt, Victor Thomas Rendano, Margaret Snow, Herf Sheldon, Ed Swayze, and David Vernon. And you had all the applications in your packet. Thank you. Mike, you have a couple.
Madam Chair.
A motion to accept those. I'm sorry, Kathy. Thank you.
So moved.
Moved. And to accept the names. Carol seconds. Kathy?
It sounds as though this is the makeup of the committee. With that understanding, that's why I didn't support the resolution, and that's why I won't support this membership list. I hope that our long discussion means that we'll be able to add some diversity to the committee. That would, I think, help the community as a whole a whole lot, and is really important. And I'm disappointed that it wasn't attended to in more detail previously.
Pat?
I would like to just mention that in delineating the range of kinds of expertise and experience that we were looking for people with this committee, we particularly designated spots for community members who may not have any particular expertise in this field, but who we felt would round out that picture of diversity in terms of input to the committee for people who might have needs that are either unserved or underserved.
Thank you, Pat. Paul, Paul will be staffing the committee. Is there anything that you'd like to add on this? And you worked very hard on the names and the applications. You don't have to put you.
Well, I was just saying to Joe, thank you for the
opportunity. Paul, hold on. Get to the mic.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying to Joe that thanks to this legislature giving me the opportunity to be more engaged in areas of the community, I actually had the ability to do more outreach. I'd like to think maybe that's why we actually broke a record and got the number of applications that we did. And so being involved in organizations, for example, like the Equity and Inclusion Leadership Council, which is through our school district, but which engages a number of organizations throughout the community that deal with the diversity issues that are being discussed here now, I had an opportunity to reach out to them to encourage them to spread the word, to bring applications in. So I only offer that as one example, and in the interest of time, but I'm just saying there was a direct effort to do outreach to ensure as much diversity as possible on this committee just by the very nature of some of the concerns that have been raised in terms of citizens that don't have access or that, quite frankly, aren't even aware of some of the options that they might have or some of the affordability concerns and things like that.
Are we ready to vote on the appointments? All in favor? Thank you very much, Paul. All in favor? Appointments? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Is Jim here? No. 11, any opposed? 2 opposed, passes 11 to 2. All right, thank you. Thank you very much, and everybody, good luck. Mike, you have a couple of other...
Resolution G, appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay assessment department. So moved.
Second by Dave. Any discussion? This is a roll call, right? Short form roll call.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yep.
Ms. Mackesy?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? That passes unanimously. All right. Thank you.
That ends my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. All right. Back to the order. So, Public Safety Committee, Nathan Shinagawa, Chair.
Yes, Public Safety Committee met on Monday, and we had a very short meeting. We had an update about the CAD system, and implementation is going along with that. Lee did report that there was some, you know, there's been a little bit of friction just because, you know, a lot of the services that were provided by dispatch are now going back to the car because it's been a while since they've had a mobile data system inside of the car. So there's just some getting used to with that. But other than that, it's going very well. We also had an update from assigned counsel and a very interesting update. The main point being, because I don't want to spend too much time here, is that they had previously reported that the maintenance of effort was no longer a question. I mean, was no longer the case. You know what I mean? Anyway, but the maintenance of effort actually still exists. Is that correct, Joe?
It does. There's been a change to it that I can explain later, but there's still a reference to maintenance of effort in the law.
Right. Yeah, which was different than what NYSAC had previously reported when they reported, when assigned counsel reported this to this budget, to the expanded budget committee meeting, which is why they were clarified under public safety meeting. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
If I could add 30 seconds to
sure,
it?
Yeah.
There's still a maintenance of effort, but unlike before, where if you spent a dollar less than you spent the year before, you lost all your state money, now there's a provision that if you spend less, you have to demonstrate that in spite of spending less, you still maintain standards of quality in your program.
Okay.
So it is an easier threshold to meet, although this still we have to show that we're maintaining our level of it.
Okay. Yeah. And then we also had... what is it? Bylaw changes to CJAATI, and but that won't come to this meeting. It will be at the next legislature meeting, and that's it.
All right.
Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you, Nathan. WDIC, Leslie McBean Claiborne, Chair.
We met, we talked, we gave ourselves more work. So one of the things that WDIC is embarking on, and I got a whole pile of them from Karen, is to begin taking a look, and we will be talking with Gio about our policies and local laws to see if there's need for language change. Things that will indicate use of people first language. Things are sort of antiquated and outdated and no longer in keeping with diversity and inclusion. So that's one of the things that we will be talking over with GO as they consider policy revisions about keeping that in mind and offering our suggestions for language change. So just wanted to share that. And then I don't remember what else we did.
Sorry,
anybody else remembers, let me know. There's stuff we did.
Jim?
I know we have a resolution coming to budget.
That's my question. I've had conversation with the office and have heard that you're going to put together a meeting sometime in December or January, that you would be on the agenda before the alleged meeting?
A presentation, you mean?
Right.
Yes, we were going to ask, but that's
well,
to need
would
to
that
out
be,
and talk to you.
Do you think it's appropriate that you might come to the Budget Committee
most
in
definitely.
December at some point?
Most
or prior to that?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kathy?
Thank you. I remember an announcement about the MLK walkway, but I don't remember the details.
Yes, there's that. Thank you. We have, it's not cool anymore. We have also, we also talked about the use of the MLK Street name. It's taken a while for GIS and a few other, you know, things to get in place so that when people Google, it will show up and, you know, you can put it in your GPS and find it. So one of the things we're looking at is, I don't know if it's a resolution or if it's a letter or something that comes through a county administrator encouraging our departments that are housed on MLK-State Street to please incorporate use of the MLK address in their mailings. And right along with that was an announcement of the launch of an MLK walkway. It is a City of Ithaca project, and November 9th from noon to 1 at the Community School of Music and Arts, which is at 300 West MLK Street, there is a launch of for the public to see of a couple of things. One is the loops that are being considered for a historic walk along the MLK walkway. It's supposed to be expanded throughout the county. This is just the beginning stages, as well as a sculpture, a commemorative sculpture of Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that will serve sort of a link for these walkway loops. So there's work. I'm a part of that committee, and so please mark your calendars for November 9th and hope that you can come. Again, it's just over the lunch hour, really brief, for folks to be there and support the work in celebrating and honoring Martin Luther King and other local historical figures in our community. And, okay, Karen, you're nodding at me. What did I forget?
There is a resolution that you have. It'll probably be coming first.
So it will be coming to budget first, the resolution on language change. All right, we pulled it from our last agenda of the legislature. It will be coming to budget and then to our next legislature meeting. I am having a brain meltdown right now.
All right.
So,
Thank you very much, Leslie. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee will be meeting on the 10th at 3:30. We haven't met, obviously, since the last board meeting. Several of us participated in the cancer walk down through Cass Park on the 23rd. It was quite nice. It was a very nice day, and it was very well attended. And I want to thank the board for the proclamation that Martha signed. In addition to that, because of the status of the public health director's search, we've been asked to have an interim meeting. Joe's calling a meeting together to take a step back and actually review where we are so that we can reinitiate some procedure at this point or some next step at this point. So that my recollection is that meeting's been set up for the 17th.
I'd have to check the calendar.
But it's coming. It's within the next 2 weeks, but we'll be proceeding with that, and I'm sure Joe will have more of a report than I will on that item. That's it.
Thank you, Frank. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Leslie, do you want to take a stab at that?
Meeting Friday.
Thank you. I was just about to say, F and I will be meeting on Friday at 9:30, and we have a lot of stuff on our agenda. I don't have it in front of me, but that's when we're meeting.
All right, thank you. Capital Planner,
go for it.
Well, Dooley left me a note.
Oh, of course.
And I'm trying to Dooley note, so I'm doing this. She said exactly what Leslie said. It's a full agenda, including a discussion of possible ways to regulate commercial activities, including traffic that may be harmful to county roads. She wanted to emphasize that.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Leslie. K, Capital Plan Review Committee has not met since the last legislature meeting. Because of Veterans Day, our meeting would normally fall on Veterans Day. We've changed that to November 17th at 3:30. So that's a Wednesday. Government Operations Committee, we are finished with that. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality, Pam Mackesy, Chair.
Well, I actually have reports from two committee meetings, but I'm going to save it until our second meeting of the month to save some time, and hopefully I will be reoriented a little bit better by then. I have one resolution, but there's a problem with that resolution, and I don't quite know how to handle it, so I'm going to just explain it to you. It's resolution I, and at today's, we did have a planning meeting today, and at the planning meeting, we had a resolution that Frank had submitted, and then we had a substitute resolution that Dooley had submitted, and none of us had really looked closely at this Dooley's resolution, or perhaps some of us had, but I hadn't. And there were some, when we got here tonight, Dooley said that there were some things that are incomplete in her resolution and is not ready to be passed tonight. And Dooley has gone home. So I am unclear about how we should proceed with this. Okay, the problem here is that Frank, that this, there's a time sensitivity to this, and it had to be passed by the 8th. Is that right, Frank?
It has to be sent to the DEC by the 8th. Can I comment on that?
Hold on, let me just, so I wanted to find out whether, when we last discussed this, the Water Resources Council was going to be, I'm asking the chair, Water Resources Council was going to form a subcommittee.
Yes.
And then advise PDEC so that advisory role would really help us to move this forward. Was there?
Well, we had a discussion, and maybe I should report. Maybe I should just go ahead and report on our meeting. We had a discussion. There was a feeling that there wasn't enough information from both sides, from the pro and con. They did come up with a sheet, and there was some sense that passing the resolution that was originally proposed was just too one-sided under the circumstances, and that Dooley's resolution offered a compromise and something that would possibly be able to be passed because it's not quite so controversial.
Okay, one more question I have on my desk, as adopted by PDEC, was that Dooley's?
Yes, but the copy that you have here doesn't have the crossed out. It has everything. Yes, but it has.
Okay.
It has both her changes and the changes the things that were in there originally, and there's no distinction, and she just had. For example, in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 4th whereas, 5th whereas, there's there's a number of states. She just, that isn't there. There was a whole paragraph that she said she would not vote for this resolution because it's so incomplete.
Okay, Frank.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me bring you up to speed on what we were asked to, what the Water Resources Council was asked to do at the last legislative meeting. I introduced the resolution, the original resolution with the long title, as it was presented, as it was received from the Farm Bureau. And there was a concern, if you recall, that it was too agriculturally centric. And that's what precipitated Dooley to revise the resolution. At the last legislative meeting, I was asked to take this back to the WRC and have them, by forming a special committee, review and reach out for additional information. I formed that special committee, and we did reach out. We received a myriad of comments and supporting documentation for one position or another. At the same time, this board, or Martha perhaps, I don't have the minutes in front of me, referred the resolution and the discussion then to the PDEQ committee. At today's meeting, I gave that the report of what the WRC recommended. They indeed, we didn't have the benefit of Dooley having a problem with her own resolution. We were acting on what she had presented and what she had given us to review. And after reviewing all the information that was received over the last 2 weeks anyway, the executive committee recommended supporting Dooley's resolution, and that's the recommendation we brought to the planning committee. There was a presentation today at the planning committee by the Soil and Water District representative and the individual that actually does the work. It was a slide presentation, a PowerPoint presentation, which was quite good, describing the Chesapeake and what the impacts were. There was some discussion about the timing, and we were reminded that the comment period, comments have to be in by the 8th of November, which is next Monday. We knew that at the last board meeting, and that's why Martha had set up this timely sequence so that we could comply with that. There seemed to be some confusion today, while we could not confirm it, about when the actual action had to be taken by the DEC. And my recollection is the date of November 26th came up, but the comment period, we were told anyway, that's what we were operating under, ended on the 8th of November. So there was, excuse me, Carol, do you mind if I finish?
Well, I have a tough question about the information in your book.
The information was presented as we had received it, and there was some concern that there was not an opportunity for the other side, whatever that means, to present an opposing viewpoint. But if you have an opportunity to review Dooley's resolution, it simply says that both sides, with the EPA and the DEC, are having a major dispute about information. And there are experts on both sides of this that are arguing pro and con. The discussion has been going on, we were told, for 10 to 15 years. It's a lifetime. And the EPA has to enact something by the end of this year. So we simply were recommending that more discussion take place, and that's basically what Dooley's resolution says, that both sides need to keep talking to each other. And that's a summary. It's 9 o'clock, and I mean, we could go on and on about it. And I'll stop there, Madam Chair. But the WRC did recommend to the Planning Committee, as they were asked to do, a course of action, and that was to support Dooley's resolution, as we were given it and as it existed. I didn't know about this filling in the blanks here or her having a problem with her own resolution until Will checked with her at the actual committee meeting.
Brian, and then Carol and Pat.
Thanks. I lost track. Did we ever offer and second this?
Now, Pam described the sort of dilemma that the committee or the...
We don't have a resolution.
Yes, we do.
No, this resolution was adopted by PDAC.
No, Dooley's resolution was adopted by PDAC.
Well, it says here it's adopted by.
Can I clarify?
No.
I think it was Dooley's resolution.
Correct.
I'm not in favor of this, but it was Dooley's resolution was passed for the one.
It doesn't say Dooley's. It says as adopted by PDAC.
Right. But that may not be the one that was.
There's a problem with the resolution that was handed out. Is that the resolution that was handed out includes everything. It includes Dooley's changes and includes original language, and there's no crossing out of the original language.
Oh, you mean Dooley's changes would have crossed out some of this text?
Exactly.
Got it.
I think what? So.
Again, but then we've got this other one. All right.
So the other one, I don't support this, but the other one does show the crossouts.
No.
Not the one that says as adopted by Dooley. I believe the one that says amendments.
Yes, but Carol, not everybody has that copy. That's a PDAC.
Oh, that was in our
all right. I will say that as somebody, I have a problem with all of this. So I think the answer, Brian, is nothing has been moved and seconded yet.
Okay, so I still have a question about
and just a second. I want to see if Brian.
Go ahead.
You're done? That was your question. Carol.
I have a question about when you said the Executive Committee of the Board of Resources Council. Is that the same committee as the special committee that agreed to meet after you and I left that WRC meeting and passed out a pros and cons list that we didn't really have time to read before?
The special committee was expanded from the executive committee, so we had the benefit of more individuals, and that was at Roxy Johnson's suggestion. So the special committee had executive committee members on it, Roxy being the lead person.
Pat, and then Peter.
I also recall, if I recall, we did pass the copy of Dooley's resolution at PDAC, and although we have apparently some verbal information from Dooley about changes she wished to make, I don't see any problem, given that it did pass PDAC, with putting it on the floor here and putting it up for a vote, if that's what we would choose to do. So that would be my suggestion, Pam, is that we did have a resolution passed at the committee that could be brought forward here. And I don't know whether we might have to make copies of it so that people could see it if we don't all have copies of it. I also wanted to point out, I don't know how many of you saw your email rather late this afternoon before you came down today, but there's copies. We received copies of a resolution passed by the town of Danby that speaks to this. And the town of Danby has also weighed in terms of, well, let me read just a couple sentences here to you. We are concerned that the draft CMDL does not actually represent the product of decades of monitoring and model development and years of focused dialogue,
but Pat,
et cetera,
we don't have
et cetera.
Just
so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just wanted people to know that this is a concern shared by a lot of our communities out there.
Peter and Will.
Just point of order, I think we've been talking about this now for a while, and there's no motion on the floor. We're supposed to have a motion on the floor, and I don't understand it well enough to make a motion, but I think the next thing that ought to be said is either a motion or we drop the whole discussion. So that's my suggestion.
I understand, and I think it's fair to have some clarity when the meeting just happened before our legislature to have a little bit of clarification. So I'm going to guess that Will might be able to talk about that.
I'm going to have a proposal. I'm looking, unless Pam, you have one.
Go ahead.
The problem is that the motion that we passed had a lot of blanks and infill, so essentially not ready for prime time. What I'm going to propose as a substitute motion is that we pass the original, that we, or I can propose this amendment, that we consider the original motion that Frank brought to us, which I actually am opposed to, but at least we can have a vote on it, because that was coherent, at least.
But do people have a copy
of
that?
Yes, it was in our packet. Yes. Everybody saw that.
Okay, so it's in your packet, original packet. Okay, so you can move that. I'm not going to, whoever is going to vote for this can move it.
So okay. Will has moved it.
No, Will is not going to vote for it.
I won't vote for it. I'll move it.
I think you can't do that.
Okay, then somebody vote. That's something we could do.
Okay, yeah. I'm calling on the folks here. Is there somebody who would like to move this motion?
May I move it because I did it at the... But I want to move Dooley's, not the original one, because that is the one the Planning Committee passed. Then you can amend anything you want.
All right. You want to move Dooley's. Pat seconds. And if that's the one that says amendments proposed by Dooley Kiefer 10-18-2010, that is being copied right now.
That's not it.
Yeah, that's the one that passed the committee.
Yeah. You're making copies of that now, because people don't have a copy of that.
Amendments proposed by Dooley Kiefer, and when I look at it quickly, it reads the way it would read if the correct things were crossed out.
That's right.
Peter, did you have your hand up?
Well, I was under the impression, I'm sorry, I have to speak a little bit. I was under the impression that Dooley's thing was not a motion that we could possibly pass, because it has empty spaces in it. So I would like to move, as a substitute, the original motion that Will was going to move, namely the one that was passed around in the packet. So that's my substitute.
Okay, I'm having trouble hearing with the side conversations. Understanding that you would vote for something that you've moved.
Not necessary. I can vote against what I move. I don't think there's any such rule.
I think our rules are that, for example, if a committee chair, the committee has voted on something, Jonathan can help us out, but the committee chair doesn't support it, somebody else from the committee makes the motion.
I'm not familiar with that, but if I'm in violation of the rules, I apologize.
Well, here, hold on one sec. Jonathan? Peter wants to move to substitute the original motion that's in our packets for what PDEC passed. So, he doesn't support it, so can he move it?
Under Roberts, at least. I don't know if Barbara will say anything.
John, a little louder, please.
You can move, but you can't speak against it, is what Roberts rules.
You can move it, but not speak against it.
Can you speak into your microphone, John?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. For some reason, someone else was using it. But, one could move it. They just can't speak against it.
How about voting?
Is there...
Well, you're going to... Yeah, you can vote against it. You just can't speak against
Peter
it.
Peter has moved to substitute Resolution I, as we found in our packets. Is there a second for that?
Well, wait. Peter should reflect the first on whether, knowing what the rules are, he still wants to do that.
I know what the rules are. Thank you. Yes. I decline to speak for it. I certainly have got a right to do that. I'm moving it, but I don't want to waste your time, but given the hour, by speaking for it.
Okay. Is there a second for the motion to substitute? That fails lack of a second. So we're back to the one that Dooley is on, or that Dooley proposed and will pass PDEC. Frank, you've spoken quite a bit already. Is there anything?
And I'd like to speak again, Madam Chair, since I'm probably the one that's most familiar with this. Do you mind?
Could be brief, and then Carol.
If you'll be just as adamant about brevity with others in this room, I will abide by that. Thank you for recognizing me. And I will be brief. The additions that Pam is describing, not the omissions, but the blanks, can be filled in by Dooley tomorrow, because the information is readily available if you read where the blanks are. So my suggestion is that they just be passed and then completed tomorrow.
Carol?
Okay. I have grave concerns that, in spite of our attempt to do so and instructions to do so, that we have not had a chance to hear from anybody informed about this issue other than the agricultural implications. And they did a very eloquent job, and there are clearly some concerns in terms of agricultural implications and the way in which New York State's plan allocates the burden on agriculture. We have not, however, this body normally would take the concerns of one particular interest and also get input on the concerns of other interests and deliberate based on having information from various perspectives. I'm not talking pro and con or opposing viewpoint. We haven't gotten information or reviewed information. I know I have gone to the EPA site and read, it took me several days to read documents about what it is they're proposing. And we haven't heard input on from people in our community about what this means for urban versus rural, need to address runoff, environmental quality, streams, from experts. From what I have managed to learn, the Chesapeake Bay was the first large body of water in the United States that was identified to be dying, to have dead zones because of environmental problems. Prominent among the causes of those were manure. We're going to spend the evening, the rest of the evening talking about manure, nutrients from fertilizer, urban roads and runoff. Since 1985, they tried voluntary measures to clean up the Chesapeake, which haven't worked. The EPA, after years of study on this, decided it was time to mandate something and spent time, got input. The USGS created the model. This isn't going to be fast because the committees spent a lot of time figuring out the agriculture implications, but not the rest of this.
Carol, excuse me, Carol. I'm afraid I really have to ask for people to settle down. And Carol, I'm gonna just take a second here and speak out of turn. Give me a second. I'm very uncomfortable with any version of this, and because this is complicated, it's technical. We have in the middle of our budget season. We haven't had time. I can listen to you. I really don't feel I can cast a responsible vote. So I will vote against whichever version comes forward. And if that's the, if other people feel that way, I would urge that we talk about that. Because I don't think it's at 10 after 9, we can weigh a technical issue based on third-hand knowledge. I really appreciate, I know you've done a ton of work on this.
Yeah.
But people are leaving. People are sick. Everybody's really tired. So if this is going to actually convince people because they're ready to vote on it, okay. If people are basically going to say, I really can't vote, then maybe we can shortcut some of this.
Well, if the decision is that we shouldn't vote on this tonight, then I won't keep going. If there's going to be a vote, I'd like the opportunity to keep going on
if there's going to be a vote, let's see where this goes, but I wanted to break in with that thought. Pat, you've already spoken. If you have something new, and then Mike has his hand up.
Okay, do I get to finish?
Oh, please, quickly.
Well,
I'll come back to you if the mood of the room is we do want to,
So we're going to break to talk about whether to vote on this tonight at all? Some more?
I think people, yes. I really want to hear the basic conversation about are people ready to vote affirmatively on this, or is there a reluctance? Do other people feel, and if this is editorializing, I apologize, if other people feel uncomfortable at this point, I think we could move on rather than weigh the pros and cons for a very long time on something we really don't understand. So, Pat, was there something else you want to add? And then Mike had his hand up.
I'm sorry.
very disappointed that this is coming up at this point in the meeting when we're all so tired, and I would say that I think it's too bad that it's being given what I think is very short shrift, because it's a serious, important topic, and I personally totally disagree with the characterization that Carol has given of what was brought to the committee. We had two staff members or more than two that were there today to speak with a fair degree of authority about this proposal, both of whom felt it was very important that we pass this. And I know it's difficult to understand, but that's no different than many of the other resolutions that come before us. And so if we either act out of being too overtired or just frustration, I think it does not do justice to the importance of this issue.
Mike?
I just was going to point out, but I guess we had a couple people come back in since I was counting noses here to see how many people were actually present to be able to vote here, and wondered, Frank, whether you want this to go ahead to a vote. I support it, but there are people here, I think, that don't, and don't know how you want to proceed.
I would point out, we don't have to weigh in on everything, unfortunately. Frank?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have four towns that are affected by the Chesapeake: Dryden, Caroline, Danby, and Newfield. This resolution, as Dooley has adapted it, is milder than the one that the Farm Bureau suggested. In the discussions that took place in Binghamton and Elmira between the DEC and the EPA last week, there was some very heated discussion between those two bodies that went on, and the Ithaca Journal reported on at least one of those meetings, because there were a lot of discrepancies in what was presented. The basic concern was that the EPA was asking the DEC to oversee on behalf of New York State items, and I won't go through the whole thing with all due respect, items that are virtually impossible for the state to meet. And all the DEC was asking for is, let's step back a little bit. It doesn't mean that we're not at fault for doing some of this, but to meet some of the criteria you've set is virtually impossible. And that's simply what the DEC is asking the EPA to do. Now, in order to arrive at those compromises, then you would get into the nitty-gritty of what Carol is describing. There are individuals on both sides of that issue. We're not being asked to do that and examine and argue the pluses and minuses of the individual sides. We're simply being asked to say to these people, why don't you guys get together and take a time out here and talk to each other? Because there is some value to doing that on both sides. That's my understanding. But Mike, I really think to meet the deadline, if this legislature wants to weigh in, they have to weigh in before next month. I have to get a letter and a copy of Dooley's resolution, or the board does, excuse me. It's not my mind at this point. They have to get something in the mail, but by the 8th, prior to the 8th, because that's the last day for the comment period. So I think it is.
You'd like to vote.
So we really do need to act on something.
Carol, and then Will.
Okay. The presentation this afternoon was presented and prefaced by the members who gave it with the fact that they were coming from the agricultural perspective. The resolution we're being asked to pass is not just delay, but urges our representatives to intercede with the EPA and enact superseding legislation if required to delay. And we didn't have the opportunity to go over what got handed to us as we walked into the meeting. The Water Resources Council Committee presented us with information that includes statements, I'm just going to read a few of them, that all the states in the Chesapeake region signed an MOU in 2002 to meet the water quality goals by 2010, or that they would submit to a plan, the TMDL, by 2011, that this has been decades in the making, New York has been involved in the creation of it, that the Chesapeake Bay model has been improved over time and it now agrees with other watershed models, that they felt that it was time to move away from end-of-pipe regulations and look to whole watersheds in addressing, because our WRC commented this, that New York's watershed improvement plan as part of this process provides almost no details about how it will receive reductions in pollutant loads. Therefore, EPA came back and increased our requirements. The EPA gives New York a way out simply by improving our watershed improvement plan to clearly demonstrate how these less stringent requirements would be met, and that most of the nitrogen that we talked about this afternoon from upstate does make it to the bay, that point is in contention. So, you know, given all of that, which is from the Water Resources Council, on the con side, we heard some of the pro side, I just think it's irresponsible for us to pass something tonight. If I were going to submit a resolution to this body, it would be urging the DEC to come back to the EPA as part of this defined process, which has dates beyond November 8th. It's got a November 29th date. It's got dates in 2011, with a plan that we think will work better, to not pass our pollution downstream. So I would urge us to go with the kind of attitude this legislature has exhibited in the past that says that mess should be cleaned up, environmental mess should be cleaned up where it's made.
Are you opposed to the resolution?
So I'm opposed to any of these resolutions.
Will?
They both have the same conclusion.
And I want to get us beyond, just clarify, do we have a resolution on the floor at this point?
Yes, we have.
Okay, so which is the, out of committee, which is at least coherent with the exception there were a couple of fill-in-the-blanks. Mm-hmm. I identify number of states, not sure, and whether or not the DEC's recommendations address.
Well, and that whole whereas should just come out.
Okay.
It's seven states.
Okay. So I'm going to propose that we vote on that, and I should have said, I'll call the question. But I didn't. Somebody else can do it.
John.
This resolution doesn't resolve anything. There's no resolved in here other than that it be distributed.
No, on the back.
The back page resolved.
Oh, yeah, the back page. There's a back page.
You only got one page. The second page, for some reason, wasn't.
Okay, I beg that some.
Never mind.
Well, look, we have an executive session to do. I really beg that we vote.
Yes.
Calling the question.
Pat?
I do have to respond to one thing that Carol said, and that's that there are a number of states involved in this, and the reason New York State is having difficulty with these proposals is because we have already voluntarily reduced our loading of the streams far beyond any of the other states. And it's as simple as that. New York State was the only state among the six that responded to their original EPA request in such a way that they voluntarily did most as much as they could of what the EPA was asking for. That's why they're having difficulty doing more and still being able to maintain our agricultural industry here in New York State.
All right. I think minds are made up here. I don't think any minds are changing. I would like to call for a vote on Dooley's resolution. All in favor, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five. Opposed? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. That fails. Pam, do you have any other part of your report?
I think that's sufficient. Thank you. I'm very sorry. I apologize for any role that I played in this. It was, it's unfortunate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be sending this resolution as chairman of the Water Resources Council so that we meet the deadline. That council completed the work that this legislature asked it to do, and according to the bylaws, we can act independently.
That's great. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Advisory boards are asked to do. All right. Complete consensus committee is going to come off the agenda in the future. We have minutes from September 7th, 21st, and October 1st, October 5th. The amendments have all been sent and posted in public and been sent in your packet. Do I have a motion on all three?
Yes,
Will?
All three.
Is there a second? Ryan seconds. Can we please vote on the amended? As amended? All in favor of these three sets of minutes as amended, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four. However many are left, minus who's any opposed? One opposed. All right. I would like us to take a 5-minute break and come back here for an executive session related to negotiations and litigation and be back at 9:30. We expect to take no action after the executive session.
Move to go into executive session.
Second.
Right, I'm too tired to even remember that part. All in favor?
All right.
Going to, thank you. Going to executive session? Any opposed? Now an executive
session. Wait, do we expect action when we come out?
Yeah.